Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's cast, Swimming Upstream, Chapter 1, Your Boss's Calendar, Part 2 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I learn what my boss's priorities are? How can I have a better relationship with my boss? How can I prepare for more responsibility?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Before we get started, did y'all know that we have got a Manager Tools license containing all of the tools to help you be a better people leader? If you'd like to learn more about the Manager Tools license, check us out online at manager-tools.com. Now, on to the show. Okay, so that takes us then to learning more about the executive systems that run your organization.
Oh, yeah. The executive trinity.
Yeah, exactly. We want you to be paying special attention to the meetings that, in your opinion, relate to what you understand to be executive systems that run your organization. Generally, these meetings will be named something to the effect of strategy or planning, operations, and people. And strategy, operations, and people are the three components of our effective executive conferences.
Yeah. And at some point, do we agree, Sarah? I don't think we've talked about this with Mike or Kate, but do we agree that at some point we're going to host another effective executive conference here this year in September 3rd and 4th,
I think
2025,
so, yeah.
Here in Monterey. And we'll do another one next February as
Correct.
Well, February 2026. We expect to do at least two a year. But at some point, we're going to start opening those up to people who are not chief executives, development officers, something like that.
Yeah.
There will be a time at some point, because I know we've had people come to Manager Tools Effective Manager conferences that weren't managers.
Yeah.
But they knew they wanted to be, and they wanted to learn about it and so on. That person probably comes from a company that prides themselves on development and is willing to pay for something like that. Probably, if you're never going to get promoted to management, they won't agree to pay for it. But if you are, then you should come. And I know at least one person, one of the attendees, there were only 15 at the original one. We kept it very small on purpose. But she said, I really needed to have all my people here.
Yeah.
I said, no, we can't do that. That doesn't work from the standpoint of the collaborative nature of the conference. I said, but you need to go back and download some of this to them and explain to them how you're going to be doing some of these things so they can become consumers and help them swim upstream. You're swimming upstream now. Help them swim upstream to your level.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Something that it's a slight segue, but we were on, as you mentioned, the executive speaker series call earlier today. And I want to say you said something to the effect of, as an executive, you no longer get trained. You're responsible for your own career, your own growth, et cetera.
Right.
And someone actually wrote a note in the chat. That's why we're here.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, we are getting our own development. That's why we came.
Yeah, exactly. So, folks, don't assume that your boss isn't high enough in the organization mm-hmm. yet to be exposed to the very top level strategy or succession planning people sessions. There is input required for those sessions when decisions are made at a higher level. There's input required from many layers down in the organization before those meetings at the top. If your boss ever says, hey, I need you to update your resume. I need you to send me a penciled in version of your performance review mid-year. Trust me, folks, he's not doing it just to tweak you.
Yeah.
He's doing it because he needs it to put together packets for what is often called session C or a people succession planning meeting. And you want that work to be good and current for him so he can sing your praises and recommend that you be given more responsibilities. There are also typically cascading activities coming out of those meetings afterwards. A classic example I remember was, and this has been, it's been 15, 20 years ago, a succession planning meeting had occurred, and it was at a company that I was consulting to, and the meeting occurred, and in the meeting, which I was in, there was a discussion about a manager who had really plenty of time in the role, but had never really been identified as a development candidate. And somebody asked, well, you know, this guy has 7 years in the role. I don't care about seniority, but what is he, you know, why are we not asking him to do more? He seems quite competent. And they said, well, I think his present boss was told by the previous boss, and I think the guy was in a bad mood, that he didn't ever want to be promoted again, so it was never going to happen or whatever. And so this really smart HR person says, I want his boss to have a conversation with that guy. His boss was not in the meeting. This is just the person we're talking about is 3 or 4 levels down. And I want to find out whether or not that's so. Well, the manager did not have the conversation to find out whether or not this person was willing to be developed. And what do you know? Town hall meeting, and a couple of executives was there, including the HR person. And the HR person goes up to the manager and says, hey, we haven't heard back from you.
Yeah.
What about this guy? Have you had the conversation? No, I have been too busy. And the executive looked at him and says, it's been like 5 days.
Yeah.
Did your boss Nett say we wanted to find out? Yeah. I should have. I'm sorry. And he said, look, if you're wondering why your people aren't getting promoted, it's because of you.
Yeah.
You're not helping us, giving opportunities to them. So then I was very impressed by this. She went down and asked the guy directly.
Yeah. Love
that. She went down and said, hey, listen, we were having a conversation. You know, this happened, succession planning. I was in the meeting. Your boss was asked to talk to you. Apparently he's too busy, but I'm not too busy, which I have been an enormous slam on the boss. And she says, hey, are you open to more development? Because there are people who feel like you have a lot of skills. It could be great. And he said, gosh, yeah. I mean, I didn't know why I've been here so long. I've been, you know, I do okay and so on, but sure, I'd love that. And in fact, I have a master's degree that I got about 2 years ago in this supply chain management, and I'd love to use it, but, you know, I know there are not a lot of openings, whatever. She says, well, actually, the guy in supply chain was the guy who was asking about you because you had mentioned a couple of things that sounded good, but he couldn't believe you were at this one particular level. He says, yeah, I like it. So then she went the next step and said, well, tell me something. Why do we think that you're not? He says, well, I don't know. I remember several years ago, I told my boss, I've had enough. You know, it seems like every time I get promoted, I get almost nothing in terms of a raise. And I was in a bad mood. And, you know, I didn't tell him never again, but I think maybe that just stuck with me. Within 6 or 8 months, the guy had killed. He'd been assigned to a special project. Uh-huh. Some things had been delegated to him in addition to his normal work, which he was fine with. He had killed. And now he was moved up 2 levels. He got a promotion, but he was moved up 2 levels so that he would have regular conversations with some very senior supply chain guys. And this is in a multi-billion dollar company. That's the kind of stuff that comes out of those meetings. And when you see those meetings on your boss's calendar,
yeah,
ask him about them, okay? This is another case where we remind you of the importance of having a good relationship with your boss. The better relationship, the more you'll get in response to your questions. And remember, if you don't ask, you won't get.
Exactly.
What's more, you'll not be using a tool that you now know about to avoid that feeling of always being on your back foot. And if you don't ask, now that you know this is possible, and maybe you thought about it before, but you didn't know if anybody else does it, but yeah, a lot of people do. It's how a lot of executives learn about what's going on above them. They swim upstream regularly, and they have feelers out all the time, and they have friends, and they're constantly talking to their buddies, and they've got intel sources and so on, which probably some people think of as being political. That person's just thinking, I'm paying attention to the water upstream from me, so I know when I'm going to get a deluge on me. And if you don't ask, you can't really logically keep complaining about what you don't know.
Yeah.
And how late you find out about things.
Uh-huh.
Just go ahead and ask.
Exactly. So folks, again, in the review of your boss's calendar, when you see those meetings involving HR, don't just make assumptions. Don't assume they're confidential and are related to somebody getting fired or laid off. Now, those things might be true, but again, just don't make the assumption. Before your boss goes into a meeting with HR, make sure that they have the very latest and greatest regarding your top performers.
Yeah.
Who knows? They might be headed into a steel cage deathmatch meeting where they're being called to defend the people on your team against some sort of upcoming layoff or downsizing event. And if you ask your boss before this meeting with HR and they think it's confidential and they can't share information with you, they won't share information with you. They just won't. It's not like you asking the question puts you at a disadvantage for having asked a question. No, they just won't share it with you. And going into these meetings, you want to make sure that your boss has the latest and greatest on all of your people, has an update to the very last baseball card that you gave them on all your folks so that they're perfectly prepared with all the newest updates on your folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, to the swimming upstream point, if you knew about it a month in advance, because you'd been looking at the calendar well in advance, you'd be that much further. You could actually get your team involved in the initiative to help get your boss prepared. You could have the folks on your team prepare a succession planning matrix or prepare documentation for you. And all of this would reduce your workload in getting your boss prepared for this meeting while avoiding a last minute all-nighter that would probably have to happen if you found out really late because they're traveling the next day. And shoot, I forgot to ask you, can you pull together all this documentation on your folks?
Yeah.
The further ahead you can be, the less of those last minute fire drills you're going to be dealing with.
Yeah. And again, folks, typically these meetings, the above and upward meetings, have a cadence of some sort. There will be all kinds of meetings that don't have a cadence and you see that they don't recur. And that's okay. But recurring meetings obviously do have a cadence. Doing a full Monty on reviewing your boss's calendar means also printing it out in weekly increments where you may miss some daily details, but you might be able to see a better pattern of recurring monthly or quarterly events. And frankly, in the first year I was doing this, I wouldn't want to print out 200 days of work days and have 200 pages to review, but I could print out 3 to 4 months. And then in 3 months, print out the next 3 to 4 months. You may also discover that your boss's calendar, like many people's calendars, is empty three or 4 months from now. But generally speaking, the big meetings, the meetings that are the sinew of the organizations, if your boss is involved in those as an executive, those will be on his calendar or her calendar. The strategy meetings are set a year in advance. They tend to revolve around quarters. Mm-hmm. The quarterly operating reviews always happen probably at the end of the month that's after the quarter. So the first quarter review happens at the end of April, you know, as soon as they can close the books and put all the raw data together, see how things are going. And you want to look for patterns and you want to keep those things in mind. And again, you could put BQR for boss quarterly review on your calendar to remind yourself, and then set an alarm on your phone or a reminder that says 2 to 3 weeks before, hey, I see you're going to the quarterly review. Is there anything you think you're going to need in advance?
Right.
Now, I've told that to people. They're like, oh, I don't know. I don't think he'd like that. Like, what won't he like? Oh, well, I'm peeking at his calendar. I can't imagine being mad that somebody looked at my calendar to get ahead of what's coming down. I mean, if that's the case, it's another case of if you don't like your boss, go find a different boss.
Yeah. I mean, that seems, why would they share it with you? If it's a secret, then they're not going to share it with you, dude.
Right.
They just won't.
Exactly.
Now, before we go on to the next piece, no, folks, Mark and I keep talking about quarterly and the quarterly cadence. And we can absolutely appreciate if you're a manager, individual manager, maybe you're even a director, depending on your organization type, quarterly events may be less important to you because of your perspective in the organization. Because you're down in the weeds with daily tasks, weekly tasks, monthly tasks, what have you, and we completely understand. But no, quarterly meetings are how your organization runs. Public companies report earnings on a quarterly basis, and privately owned companies generally follow that same cadence. And it may not make sense to you, but quarterly is how executives think. When there's a bad quarter, don't be afraid to ask about outcomes in terms of budgets, promotions, hiring freezes, even layoffs. I mean, you don't have to have any indicators in your boss's calendar to help you know 3 months has gone by.
Yeah. The first time I started really realizing about quarters was I was told at Procter & Gamble in my first year there, I was given a performance review. And the guy who actually delivered to me was my boss's boss's boss, which told me something, who's the national sales manager. And I said, hey, by the way, I've never had a performance review. I knew the Army system, the OER system, officer evaluation report or officer efficiency report. And I was very, very good at it, saw tens of thousands of them in my career. So I asked, I said, is this good? He said, well, I'm not your boss or your boss's boss. I'm your boss's boss. I would never deliver a review for somebody or for two levels down unless it was good. So you can assume that. I said, well, I'm just asking about the numbers and so on. He says, it's a very good review. You did an excellent job and so on. And I said, is this, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And that was one of the great things about leaving the Army and going to Procter & Gamble. Everybody knew I didn't know.
You don't know.
And I said, is this what you get? And he said, no. And I said, oh, what's yours like? And I wasn't trying to send a message of, I want to be you at all. I was just curious. I didn't know anything. And he said, there's generally a rule, Mark, executives don't get written performance reviews. I said, oh, is that like a perk? He says, no. Our performance review comes out every quarter in the Wall Street Journal. And that was the first time I understood that I got an idea that my boss sometimes asks for stuff from me and my peers every quarter. But at the time, just like when I was a kid, quarters didn't matter. Quarters did not matter in the Army. Missions mattered, timelines and missions and so on. But that was the first time I got a sense of quarters. And then I looked back at my calendar and there it was.
Yeah.
A cadence of quarterly stuff coming out from my boss. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just jumping in here real quick to talk to y'all a little bit about our executive speaker series calls. Monthly, all of our executive tools licensees are invited to join us on a call where we hear from an executive in the manager tools community as they share their wealth of knowledge. And on April 17th, we're going to be hearing from Carrie Proven, the Vice President of Human Resources at Mortgage Center, while she covers a business case for manager tools. Carrie and her team revitalized their organization using the tools you're hearing about today. And if you'd like to learn how she did it, become an executive tools licensee, and you can join us on the call. Back to the show.
Now, last item.
Last item. Yeah. Modify your own calendar to get in front of the forces that affect you. So, folks, this one ought to be the most obvious, and we've mentioned it previously, but consider how your calendar should be changed based upon your learnings in this analysis. Maybe your staff meetings should be after your boss's staff meeting with their boss and your boss's staff meeting with you. Right? There's going to be things that fall out of those meetings that you're likely going to want to talk to your team about.
Right.
And therefore, from a timing perspective, you having your, let's call it month or your weekly staff meeting on Monday when everyone else has their meetings on Tuesday doesn't make a ton of sense. Maybe you move to Wednesday. Now, it's not always that easy, right? It's not always that clear cut. It's not always that simple. And maybe the moving of this meeting isn't even smart for your team. But again, it depends how much cascading delegations come out of those meetings. And folks, your staff meeting is meant to waterfall information. So I honestly can't even imagine. Maybe your one-on-ones don't matter, sure, but one-on-ones aren't for waterfalling information.
Right.
But of course, if your purpose here is to waterfall information, I almost can't imagine a world where you wouldn't have something that falls out of the meetings above you that you want to tell your team in that meeting.
Yeah. And then take to the next level. What are the benefits of coming in early when the boss does?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be easier to get 5 or 10 minutes with her to ask questions, both about current operations, but also do some swimming upstream.
Mm-hmm.
What's the benefit of you staying later when your boss leaves early? Maybe you can start prepping annual reviews or plan out your next quality initiative or your next quarterly briefing when you're not going to be pinged as much or when the team tends to calm down because the boss is out, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one of our good friends, Mark, Trevor Woods, this reminds me of Trevor. It's a slightly different example, but during COVID or during the end of COVID, when their entire workforce was still work from home, he started going into the office because the only other person there was his boss. And then he had all of this extra time with his boss to talk to him and pick his brain. And there's no one really else around. So I guess let's just like grab a coffee because we're like the only people here. And there's all this extra time and opportunity that other people aren't seeing, paying attention to, capitalizing on that you have the opportunity to.
Which gives us a good opportunity to say here, if you're still working from home, folks, your career is withering. I'm sorry. We hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we love you enough to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if you're not in the office and other people are, that's a competitive disadvantage for you. Now, you may be fine staying where you are, and that's okay. And as we've said always when we talk about getting back to the office, we understand that a career choice of living at home may be better for you and your work style or your family situation. Totally fine.
Yep.
Just don't do those things and think my career is going to be the same. As a friend of ours once said to Sarah and I at dinner when we were talking about returning to the office, this was 2 or 3 years ago. She said, it's always the kid in Albuquerque who gets laid off, right? Mm-hmm. For an office, say, in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. And what I would say, because we're talking today to the Manager Tools audience, is, folks, just because you may personally make the choice to put your career in a position where you're not taking advantage of all the opportunities you could, doesn't mean the people that work for you oughtn't receive the information about what might happen to their career if they choose to work from home. I think something that I've learned more than anything in the last, I guess, 10 years now that I've been training people is, it is the manager's responsibility to help the people on their team understand what the implications of their choices are.
Yeah.
And as managers, we don't really realize that's our responsibility. But I mean, if you've got folks working from home, it's your responsibility to say to them, listen, you won't have the same career as someone in the office all the time. And the reason I chose this for my career is because of this, this, and this. And know that you probably won't be promoted at the same rate. You probably won't get pay raises at the same rate. You're going to have to work much harder to build relationships. All of these things exist, and you can choose that. But know what you're asking for.
Yeah.
When you make your choice. Because if people don't have that kind of information and then feel slighted by it, that's not fair. We should be sharing that.
We should. Yeah. Managers are not communicated to. They're communicated through.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this whole exercise mm-hmm. that we're encouraging you to do to analyze your a boss's calendar, keep in mind that when you look at your boss's calendar 5, 6, 8 months from now, the only thing that would be on it are big recurring meetings and probably one-on-ones if she does one-on-ones with you. So just keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. You may want to take a peek well out, even though you think, you know, after about 50 workdays, there's not much more on there. But what is on there is pretty important stuff, mm-hmm. right? The whole exercise ought to expose you more to the rhythms of the organization. Now, we're going to do more swimming upstream guidance, and we'll give you other ways to swim upstream and how to make that happen. But this is just the start to get you start your exposure. If you work for a smart boss, you'll see prep time on their calendar before important meetings. Learn a lesson. I like to tell people that meetings are not a block. They're much more like a bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ramp up before, there's the height in the middle, which is the meeting, and there's the follow-up afterwards. I think we've already covered this, but a lesson there is you may be asked for data and recommendations related to that meeting coming up during or before that prep time. Mm-hmm. So be aware of that. It's not just the meeting they're going to, it's what they're doing before the meeting. Leave more time on your calendar for that. Consider moving one of your own trips during that time if you can, if it's a really big, important meeting for your boss.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And folks, we hope that you're going to start putting more planning time on your calendar as well. So you can start swimming upstream with you and your team's work and planning. Schedule prep time, dude. Schedule prep time.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so summarizing here. Swimming upstream means getting outside your own organization. Shift from the inside now, quote unquote, inside now, to the outside tomorrow, quote unquote. I just did Joey air quotes for
you did.
Folks yeah. watching on YouTube. One way to get there is to look up to your boss's calendar and learn the rhythms that he or she moves to and that the organization runs on at a level higher than you. You'll become a better manager and better prepared to take on more responsibility because you'll understand what those responsibilities are.
Mm-hmm. And folks, as you learn, as you share more with your team about what your swims upstream are showing you, you'll be a better manager. You'll be better for the organization. Your career will be better off. No sense doing all this information and then not sharing with the folks on your team all of this insider information that's benefiting you.
Right. I mean, you're literally, if you do that, then you're doing to them what you don't like being done to you.
Yeah, exactly. So share with them. Share with them.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Sarah. My pleasure. A lot of fun.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week as we kick off a brand new topic.